Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, February 19th. I'm Ray Graff. If you're looking to make some improvements around the house, we have the man for you. Today on the show, we welcome back licensed professional engineer and construction specialist Darren Tracy. He's ready to answer your home maintenance and repair questions. Darren has extensive experience in construction, renovation, property management. He joins us every so often to offer his expertise. It's always a popular show when he's on, so I advise you to call early. 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy, and your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's time to talk home maintenance, repair, and improvement today. We welcome back our friend Darren Tracy. Darren is a licensed professional engineer with experience in construction, renovation, and property management. He is a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He runs the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm, and he is a director of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. If you have a question about something that may or may not need a little improvement in your home, call us 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Apparently, he also works on boats. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But the number again is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thank you, Ray.
So, yeah, you know, you never cease to amaze me, man. Now you were just telling me about how you basically took your boat half apart and fixed a problem in that. Is that in your job description?
Yeah, sure. My wife and I have been living on a boat for the last couple months, cruising around the Florida Keys.
Yeah.
This is a relatively small boat. It's not this mega yacht.
Yeah.
It's like 150 square feet.
I've been on that boat. It's a great boat.
Yeah, it's a nice boat, but it's small, and we had an odor on the boat. This is can happen in a home.
Right.
So I'll bring that up. We had an
Tell
odor
me about
on
it.
And we couldn't find it. And finally, we had another guy in the boat. He was real handy guy and a farmer from Minnesota, just looking around. So we tore a wall apart, and there's a small refrigerator. We took that out, and we're looking. We found a water leak in a line.
And then you have to put everything back together.
Yeah, we had to remove a seat to remove the refrigerator, and you have to be like a yoga contortionist on that little boat.
Yeah.
Anyways, we capped the line, and
good.
Hopefully the odor will disappear.
So you live on a boat for a couple of months in the Keys. It's got to be a tough life. I got to be honest with you. It's got to be very tough.
Yeah. As I mentioned before we went on the air, it's like walking out the door here into like another life.
Yeah.
Feel pretty blessed to be able to do that. And it's not really that expensive to do that, as I mentioned to you. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a boat, you don't need an expensive boat.
Right. For my family, we need more of a huge yacht.
A houseboat.
Exactly. The thing is, though, a farmer from Minnesota is also living down there.
People from all walks of life. It's very interesting.
It's amazing. Well, we're off topic, but I could talk about this all day.
Yeah.
What's new in your line of work there, Chief?
I'm still doing some consulting down from the boat. Back to the real world up here in upstate New York. You mentioned I'm a member of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers.
Yeah.
We sponsor scholarships for high school seniors, and the application date is coming up April 1st. And I would encourage any high school senior who's interested in pursuing engineering in college to apply for this scholarship. We exist. One of the reasons we exist is to raise money and provide these scholarships. They range from $1,000 to $3,000. we might give them out to three, four, five kids, something like that. So,
what are the criteria? I mean,
academics one. But not just how well you do in school. It's how much you contribute to society, and it's a weighted assessment. Extracurricular activities, those types of things.
Interesting.
And they would apply or access a scholarship on the Capital District Chapter website. And it's kind of long, but if you searched Capital District scholarships, Capital District PE scholarships,
yeah,
you could come to that. Or you can reach out to me after the program, and I'll send you the link.
You know what
I'll do is I'll put this link. Go ahead.
Yeah, give me the link, and I'll put it on the page for today's show, too. I don't know why I didn't think about that prior to this.
Yeah.
That would be a good idea.
I didn't give you the information. I didn't bring it up prior.
I'll get that done afterwards.
Yeah. So that's one thing that's going on. In that organization, also, we are looking for more members and director positions to help us out. So anybody that's out there who is a licensed professional engineer that wants to join.
And, I was going
to
join, but I'm out now. I can't do that.
You know how nonprofits are. It's hard to keep them going, and a small number of people end up doing most of the work. So we're just trying to keep that going and bring some younger people into the fold.
Yeah, well, things are tough all over. By the way, you were down in the Keys learning to dance, and we had a fun drive up here, and it was quite spectacular. It was a great fun drive. Everybody stepped up. It was 3.5 days, lovely, good times, and really good, man. I mean, this nonprofit is going to be okay.
That's good. That's very good to hear.
Yeah. Number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We kind of got off topic a little bit, but we're talking home maintenance, repair, and improvement today. Darren Tracy is our guest, and I put a video up on the page today at your behest about a mousetrap. You're making a mousetrap, and ostensibly you go to the hardware store, you buy a mousetrap. What's up with this?
Well, it's a pet-safe mousetrap. Well, the video I wanted you to put up initially was the dance video.
Yeah, and I'm not doing that. Yeah. I saw the video, and frankly, you probably need a couple more lessons before you do the videos.
Yeah, you're right there. I won't be confused with Fred Astaire.
No, definitely not.
But anyone that's interested, if you go to my YouTube channel, just search Darren Tracy Engineer, along with all the how-to videos about how to fix up your home in your basement and set the mousetrap, you can find a dance video there.
All right, so we'll talk about the mousetrap later, but let's talk a little bit about something that has been on my mind, and I'm sure many people who live around here, and that is, it's cold. Down in the Keys, you don't have to worry about it so much, but up here, it's been a lousy February, and how do we make sure we are as energy efficient as possible?
Well, it's kind of late to do much right now for this year, but for next year, there are several programs that are available to winterize your home, make your home more energy efficient. In New York State, NYSERDA offers a free energy audit program, and I did put these links up on my Facebook page. So you can access those links. But how about I send these links to you?
Send me your awesome. I don't think I haven't been on Facebook in many years, so I don't even think about it. But send me that link, and I'll put it on the page as well. So, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
I can update my Facebook page very easily. I can't update my website very easily, so that's why it goes to Facebook.
Do you have Wi-Fi LinkedIn. On the boat?
Yeah, we have Wi-Fi. Depends on where we are. One of the marinas where we've been staying a lot has Wi-Fi, and then we have good cell service down there, too.
Yeah. So. I mean, can you do the Starlink from a boat?
We can do Starlink, too. We're not doing that, but we can.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy's our guest. If you have a question about something, a repair or an improvement you want to do in your house, that's how we do this show. Darren's on every couple few months. Anything else you wanted to add on that?
Yeah, a couple of things on who is available for these scholarships that I mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
So in New York, and it's all the surrounding counties, Albany, Champlain Valley, Clinton, Columbia, Essex, Franklin, Fulton, Greene, Hamilton, Montgomery, Rensselaer, Saratoga, Schenectady, Schoharie, St. Lawrence, Warren, and Washington County. So it's a wide range geographically. And also, there are programs from NYSERDA for free energy improvements, adding insulation. If you are low or medium income earner, you can improve the energy efficiency of your home for free.
One of the things I saw on your videos today, and I didn't put the link up, but I probably should have, it was you saving a roof that was going to collapse.
Yeah.
What was up with that?
A few years ago, well, that feed just came through in my email. It was a publication for the Journal of Light Construction.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote an article about a roof collapse averted. And that's apropos for our times right now because there's so much snow on the roof.
Yeah.
So it was an article about how this building was initially improperly constructed and it was close to collapse.
And how do you know it was close to collapse?
Well, we were, by accident, we found that out. We were re-roofing the roof shingles and we saw some plywood that's a little bit suspect. So we went into the attic and checked it out and found these rafters that were coming apart.
Oh.
You know, if we would had a snowfalls like we've had this year, it probably would have collapsed.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing. Darren right. Tracy's our guest. We'll take a quick break here and then we'll hit the phones. And the email is voxpop@wamc.org if you have a question. 800-348-2551 is our number otherwise. We'll be back. Johnny Hammond-Smith, Soul Talk here on Vox Pop. Darren Tracy almost trying to do that dance again, and frankly, it's unsettling, so let's just not do that. The number here is 800-348-2551. You got a pinky ring on there,
yeah.
And you said there's some secret story behind it.
Well, I received this ring when I took the Order of the Engineer oath, which is kind of cool. It's kind of like the Order of the Arrow in Boy Scouts. Were you ever a Boy Scout?
No, are you kidding me? I can barely tie my shoes.
Okay. This originated in Canada. This tradition originated in Canada in the early 1900s when a bridge collapsed and it killed 75 people. It was in Quebec. And
what year was that?
It collapsed twice. It was like 1907 and 1916, something like that.
Uh-huh.
75 people were killed.
Wow.
So engineering organization in Canada came up with an oath that engineers were sworn to take to protect public safety, okay? And once you took that oath, you were given a ring, and the ring was made from the iron of the bridge.
You're
collapsed.
Kidding me.
No, no.
Wow.
So the United States adopted this tradition, and that was the bridge collapse in the early 1900s. The organization was formed in 1925, so it's 100 years this year in Canada.
Yeah.
In the United States, it was adopted in 1970.
Oh.
And they're not made out of bridge iron from that collapse, but...
So this one is actual bridge?
No, this one's not. It's not. The ones in the United States are not because... You know, it was a Canadian bridge. That's their thing.
See, so you had to take a secret oath.
I had to take an oath, and you know, it's about public safety, and it's about conducting yourself in an ethical manner.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Do
I take
me a
it
favor,
sincerely.
Don't let them see the dance video. That's
well,
all I can tell
no,
you.
No, that's
really
that's. It might not be good, but it's not unethical.
You may be. Well, I don't know. It may be a little unsettled. I got to be honest. All right, let's go to the phones. Kingston is the place. Joanne is there. Hello, Joanne. You're on.
Yeah. Hi. I'm thinking my house might be sinking on one side.
Ouch.
It's
Ooh.
Over 100 years old.
Okay.
Actually, let's see. It's 125, probably.
That's a good run. All right.
And maybe I can help you a little bit if you describe the problem, how much it's sinking and what leads
Well, I don't know how much it's sinking.
Okay.
The over the door, the front door, you can see a very slight curve. And I did have a fellow come over here, and he said, yeah, he said, there's something, you've got, there's a change here. They put recessed lighting in the front room, and apparently one of the, in two locations, in one of them, apparently might not have been a good idea, he said, might be compromising.
Ah.
And the other, there was a cedar beam on a rock in the basement that fell over.
Okay. So.
All right. Well, the recessed light wouldn't contribute to the house settling into the ground. Also, recessed lighting are leaky lights. They're talking about energy efficiency. They're holes in the ceiling, and you put the light, instead of surface mount, you cut a hole. Unless those are insulated properly, they can be pretty leaky, and so you need to really install those.
Yeah, I'll take
with
a look
care.
At them, yeah.
Yeah. Regarding the cedar post in the stone in the basement, yeah, if that's loose, you definitely could be an area where you're settling there.
Okay.
It's
well, the ground is dropping below, because it's not the other, it can't be the other way around. Otherwise, the cedar post would have stayed up.
That's true. It could have been some shrinkage, or the beam above could have been rotted, or some insects that could have caused that. Yeah.
Always, yeah.
But
I don't know how to have an assessment.
Okay, before
right?
you
want an assessment, and then, you know, who do you hire? There are these guys out in Pennsylvania that renovate barns.
Okay.
That are kind of, you know, a kilter.
Before you answer, Darren, is it less likely that a house that has been there 125 years and has been, you know, has withstood the tests of weather and time is sinking now 125 years later? Is that possible and probable?
It's definitely possible, and because it's been there 125 years doesn't mean it's going to be there in another 125 years.
Yeah.
Lots of old homes are structurally built in inadequate, especially in the basement. They're not proper footing sizes to spread the load out. What you can do is send me a couple of pictures, and I will take a look at that and give you some quick feedback on that. It's hard for me to do anything without looking at some pictures. My email is darren@westbranchinc.com. I'll provide this service to. I'm not looking for any work. I'm looking for no work. But
it's Darren at West Branch.
Two R's.
Yeah, darren@westbranchinc.com. And what I can do is spend a few minutes taking a look at it and provide some comments to point you in a direction.
All right. Well, Joanne, good luck and thanks a lot. We'll mention that email address again. And as I have said before, it's very nice of you to do these things because you don't have to do it. And frankly, I don't know how you have time if you're gallivanting around in the Florida Keys, dancing around. But it's nice of you to do all the same. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And, you know, a man or a woman has to have something to do while they're sipping that pina colada.
Oh, you're killing me. All right. You know, it's been a lousy, just so you know, February has not been a very kind weather month.
It's in January.
Yeah.
It's been a tough winter.
Yeah.
I've been keeping track of it.
So thanks for rubbing it in. Again, let's go to Patty in Woodstock. Patty, you're on.
Hi, Darren. I have a question. Several years ago, I had my bathroom remodeled. And we put in glass shower doors, which were beautiful, but they aren't flush up against the wall, which the interior wall of the shower is tile, but the adjacent wall is sheetrock. And I have some water damage on that sheetrock wall, and I don't know how to address it. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, that sheetrock should have been moisture-resistant sheetrock, green-colored sheetrock, and that resists water damage pretty well, but it's water over the dam. Depending upon the severity of the damage, it can be cut out and replaced with that green board that I'm talking about, and that's not really a big job. Any sheetrocker, plasterer, handyman can do that. If it's minor, you could go over that with a Durabond, which is a type of joint compound that applies like conventional joint compound, but it sets up hard and not susceptible to water. So you could try that and then paint that surface with an impermeable paint, moisture-resistant paint. Permabond is one name that comes to mind,
okay.
And that has a mildicide in it, too. So good luck with that.
All right. Patty, thank you very much. Number here is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Darren Tracy here, and it's, home improvement, maintenance, repair, et cetera. Let's go to Lake George and Dan. Dan, you're on. Dan, you're on. Hello there, Dan. He's probably muted his phone. I'll give him a second, right, Zach? How much time should I give him?
Yeah,
there he is.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are, Dan. Hello.
Hi. Quick question on, in a residential application, what are your thoughts about putting spray foam, open or closed cell, in the rafters? So, for instance, you have a finished attic space, and you want to insulate the underside of the joist or roof rafter.
Okay.
And you're thinking about using spray foam. I've heard different stories about people when they go to re-roof their house, all of a sudden finding that the sheathing has disappeared. It rotted away.
Okay, Dan, for our listeners who are not familiar with spray foam, it's a type of insulation that is sprayed to the underside, typically the underside of a roof surface or other areas such as a rim joist around a basement. There are two different types. Dan, you mentioned open cell and closed cell. Open cell breathes more than a closed cell. I have seen quite a few installations of spray foam on the underside of rafters where there have been problems. From small cracks where moisture can get into severe problems where the whole roof has needed replacement.
Oy.
Now, I don't want to unnecessarily scare away people from that product because there are installations that, if undertaken properly, can work well. But it's temperature sensitive, mix sensitive, the skill of the applicator sensitive. There are lots of ways for it to go bad. But again, it can be a good product for that use. Some of the best uses I've seen of that in an older existing home is to spray around the base of the rafters where the rafters meet the top of the exterior wall, seal that area up really well around that perimeter, and then keep the rest of your attic ventilated and add insulation in that space. So the area above the attic floor, that would be in unconditioned space. If you applied spray foam to the underside of the rafters, all the area below that is called a conditioned space. So you're heating more, but it's sealed up more like a thermos bottle, and you can have condensation problems. When the house is sealed up that tightly, you want to make sure that you have an air exchange system so you're bringing fresh air into the home and not breathing this old humid air. So that's another consideration. So I would proceed carefully. I know I wouldn't do that myself if I was going to add insulation to a home. I would take advantage of the spray foam around the band insulation down at the basement level, around the perimeter of the bottom of the roof rafters and the top of the wall to seal that up tight. And then I would add conventional insulation and then ventilate the attic space. That's what I would do. Good luck, Dan.
All right, Dan, thanks a lot for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy is here, a rare Northeast appearance from a person who spends a lot of time in beautiful sunny weather, and I'm not bitter about it at all. Let's go to Clarence. Dave, you're on.
Hey, Ray. Hi, Darren. Nice to talk to you again. Thank you very much.
You bet.
I sent Ray an email about an ice dam.
Got it right here.
That I have to go back to Chittenango and fix.
Okay.
And
you describe it, and I'll show it to Darren while you're describing it. Go ahead.
Okay. ranch house in a valley between a garage and a set of stairs. And I think the house is eventually going to need a roof sooner than later. But a big ice dam formed above that ceiling light, and water was pouring into the house, showering into the house. So I'll go back there in a couple weeks and tear out 3 or 4 sheets of drywall, re-insulate, replace that light, and hopefully get that tied up in 3 or 4 days.
Doesn't that stink?
It's a terrible mess.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a recessed light. So I'm just going to go ahead and put a flush mount there. I did not realize that about recessed lights. But any other advice you can give me, like what type of insulation I should use?
All right. Yeah, you had a look at this. Darren, what do you think?
I was studying the photographs. It looks like you're leaking heat through that light in the ceiling, and the heat is going up and melting the snow on your roof. The roof, the melted water then runs down the slope of the roof until it hits the eave, and the eave is cooler, and it freezes, and it creates an ice dam, a classic ice dam. So right. you'd want to seal up that light so that warm air is not moving up through the ceiling. Air sealing in a home is almost as important as adding insulation. You just don't want warm air moving around, because it can melt the snow on your roof and cause these ice dams that you have, or cause condensation problems mm-hmm. in the roof. I would add blown insulation into the attic, blown cellulose or even blown fiberglass, and make sure that your soffit vent is free and able to convey air into your attic space and up to your ridge vent. I looked at the photograph, and it looks like your house does properly have a ridge vent, so the air can come in the soffit, ventilate up through the attic space, carry out any of that moist air up out through the ridge vent. So add more insulation and seal up around the perimeter. And that would be a good application of what I described in my previous call, is to spray foam at the intersection of the where the roof rafters meet the top of the wall. That area is typically leaky, and then you'd have what's called a proper vent in there that allows air to proceed in through the soffit vent up to the ridge vent.
Dave.
Okay. And your opinion about the corrugated foam baffles?
Oh, those are great. You need some way to convey air from the soffit up to the attic space and out the ridge vent. And for our listeners that are not aware, there are these baffles that are made that prevent insulation from clogging up your soffit vent. And the soffit is the portion of the roof that overhangs the exterior wall of your house.
Mm-hmm.
And in northern climates, those are ventilated to let air get into the attic, typically when you have an unheated attic.
Right.
So that's what the proper vents are for.
All right, Dave, thanks a lot. Good luck. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy's our guest today. It's home repair and improvement. And let's see, we'll go to Poughkeepsie and Tom. You're on. Tom.
Hi. I'm calling about the water pressure in our house in Poughkeepsie. We live in a mid-century ranch-style house. It was built, I think, 1954 or something. Since we've moved there, there's been issues with the water pressure. Whenever we have water on in another room or use water in another room, the water pressure will decrease. But over the past, 8 months, we've noticed that we'll turn the water on, and it'll come out regular strength. And then about a minute in, it'll decrease for about 45 seconds and then come back up again to normal pressure. And we don't really know what's causing this. And we've had a number of plumbers out to look at it. And we've tried a lot of different things, but nothing has really been successful.
Okay, Tom, do you have municipal water or do you have your own drilled well?
It's municipal. and the pressure of the water coming into the house from the street, you know, we've changed the pressure valve, pressure reducing valve, we've changed that, but the pressure of the water coming into the house is at full strength. So they've tested it coming into the house. I don't think that there's a problem between the house and the street. We've also, you know, had a camera go through some of the piping and stuff, and nothing has been noticed. I think it's 3/4-inch pipe. We're not sure what's causing this problem. You know, we've had people tell us that we shouldn't have the issue if the water remains constant, the pressure remains constant, that when we turn on something else, it shouldn't reduce like that. But we've kind of like adjusted ourselves to living with that. But the issue now is that it's starting to reduce even when we don't have other water on in the house.
Well, your problem was understandable until you just said that last sentence, when you don't have pressure when you're not using the water. So let me just back up before that last sentence. It sounds like you have a flow restriction problem in your piping, because when you first turn your water on, you have adequate pressure, you have high pressure, but then it reduces over time. So it seems like there is a restriction someplace in the line, but when you shut the water off, there's time allowing water downstream from that restriction to build back up and build back up to the line pressure. So I think you have a restriction somewhere. I'm not sure where that would be. You could keep going from point A to point B to try to isolate that, maybe out between your curb stop, which is a shutoff valve at the street, and the nearest faucet you have inside. If you can determine if you have the problem right there, you know, in that first, could be a boiler drain coming inside the home, or your first point where you can draw water off, that would tell you that the restriction is between the curb stop at the street and in that first stop. If you don't have that slow down there, it tells you that you have a restriction someplace in the main in your house downstream, and you can just go from segment to segment to try to isolate and find out where that restriction is. It could be a crunch pipe. It could be some dirt or iron or solder or something in the pipe someplace that wasn't cleaned out properly. But it sounds like a restriction somewhere, and it's just a matter of troublesome troubleshooting.
Okay, Tom, we got to take a break here. We're a little out of time on this segment. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Darren Tracy today. Home Improvement. Back with more of your calls coming up. Fox Pop on WAMC. It's Ray Graff with you. Darren Tracy is our guest today. Home Improvement. An email or two here, and then we'll go back to the phones. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Voxpop@wamc.org. Mary writes, subject heading, digging crawl space deeper. Mary writes, our daughter has a well pit a distance from the house and is trying to move everything up into the crawl space. She needs to, one, dig it deeper, or two, add a small addition to the foundation with more headroom. Any pointers on digging deeper? If she digs an extension alongside the existing crawl space, will it endanger the structure of the foundation? It is very level, appears to have been built more or less on ledge rock, and is laid up stone with concrete between rocks. Your thoughts?
Okay, well, if it's on ledge rock, then there are no foundation issues, because the soil underneath, there's no soil underneath the foundation to collapse, so that would be good. If it's not on ledge rock and it's a crawl space and you want to excavate deeper, then yes, there is a concern that you could undermine the foundation, which is not a good thing.
No.
If you look on my YouTube channel, there is an example of a revamp of an old basement where we dug out the basement deeper than the foundation line, And what we did to prevent that undermining problem is to pour some concrete at an angle around the perimeter.
Why an angle?
Well, if it went right up to the very edge of the cobblestone field stones, then the soil would be vertical and tend to fall out.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
So there's an angle of repose, a natural angle of the soil we'll seek. That's called the angle of repose in the engineering world. So we had that angle of repose, and then we put concrete on top of that, so it wasn't undermined.
All right.
That's a detail.
So in this instance, digging deeper is possible, but it requires some caution.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
All right, Mary, thanks for that one. The email address here is voxpop@wamc.org. If you have a question for Darren Tracy, the number is 800-348-2551. Herb is in Slingerlands. Herb, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'm wondering if you can recommend an appropriate flooring choice for a basement that has radiant heat underneath the concrete.
Probably one of the better choices would be a ceramic tile in a basement installed with a thin set mortar. That's not susceptible to water. A product that you would not want to install would be a carpet or even wood that's susceptible to water, moisture changes.
Yeah.
So, ceramic tile or even a natural concrete finish. You could grind the finish. You could grind the surface. You could stain it.
Stained concrete?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Any special type of stain you need for that?
Yeah, there are concrete stains. I mean, it's another kind of cost-saving floor finish that you'll often see in big box stores. They used to have these 12-inch square tiles, but you'll see that where they've been taken, those have been taken away, and you'll see the ghost lines of those tiles, but they'll ground the floor, so you see the natural aggregate in the concrete floor, and they'll put a clear sealer over top. That's a pretty cool architectural
Definitely
look.
Nice.
I know that like a Tang museum in Skidmore, it's kind of a swanky museum. They have that detail on some of their floors.
What do you think, Herb?
That sounds good, but I don't want to make sure the ceramic tile won't adversely affect the efficiency of the radiant heat.
No, it'd be a great candidate for that because it transmits heat very well. It's a really good conductor and a poor insulator.
Does that affect the lifespan of the ceramic?
Shouldn't.
No?
No. No. Those relatively low water temperatures. That'd be a really good choice, ceramic tile.
All right, Herb, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here, if you have a question for Darren Tracy, is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Katie is in Rhinebeck. Katie, you're on.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet.
I am working on a project where I took down a drop ceiling in an old house and found some damaged plaster and lath. And through that, we could see that there was some mold in the insulation above the room. It looks like it's old rock wool. I'm curious if you have suggestions for how we need to deal with that. Are we able to sheetrock over it once we take out the insulation, put new insulation in? Are there treatments we should use? I'm curious to get your opinion.
The first thing to do, Katie, is to prevent that from happening again, the moisture from happening again. Once that gets dried out, you shouldn't have much of a problem with what was damaged in the past, and you could install new sheetrock. But you'd want to find the source of that moisture, be it a roof leak or a condensation problem, and deal with that. And again, that ties into some of the earlier conversations today about having proper attic ventilation, proper amount of insulation. It's a little hard for me to assess exactly what the problem might have been without looking at it. But again, you can send me some photos after the show.
All right, good time to give your email address again.
Yeah, it's Darren, D-A-R-R-E-N, at westbranchinc.com. West, W-E-S-T, like the direction, and branch, like the branch of a river. In fact, that's what it's named after.
Okay.
.com.
All right, well, Katie, thanks a lot and good luck. And just once again, if you're just tuning in, Darren is not looking for work. Darren does things and helps people out when he can, just out of the goodness of his heart, because he's a great guy. 800-348-2551. That's the telephone number. Darren Tracy's our guest. Russ is in Schenectady. Russ, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Hey, so I had a question regarding well water supplying into the house. We seem to have on one of the spouts where at times we get like black water or grayish water, dark for a period of time, and then it clears up afterwards. So I was wondering if you guys have any experience with that type of result from well water.
Okay, Russ, is that in the hot water or cold water?
Yes,
or
hot
both?
Hot water.
Hot water, okay.
Hot water supply.
Yeah, okay. So there's probably some bacteria growing in your hot water tank. There's an anode in your hot water tank that may be deteriorating and contributing to the bacteria growth. And sometimes you'll get a smell, like a rotten egg smell, a hydrogen sulfide smell. You could rinse that hot water tank out and replace the anode. And if you look at my YouTube channel, there's a video about rinsing, draining out a hot water tank.
Ah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Fantastic. So you drain it out and you have to treat it with something? Or
if you drain it out and flush it out, that would go a long way to helping. And once you have it drained out, you would replace your anode, which is there's a nut on the top of the hot water tank, and you just back the nut off counterclockwise and put a new anode in there. They deteriorate over time. They're there to prevent corrosion, minimize corrosion.
Yeah.
So
what is the
how is it?
Go ahead, Russ.
How is it where it only happens out of one spout? Like, I don't get it on any of the other faucets. It just happens from one of the spouts.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Yeah, that's a little bit perplexing.
Ah, okay, so maybe it's something between...
Could be some bacteria living in that one particular segment of the line. I'm not sure why just one. Typically, you'd get it out of all the hot waters.
All right, Russ, thanks a lot. Good luck. Appreciate the call. It's 800-348-2551 here with Darren Tracy. And in Poughkeepsie, there's a person named Jim. Hello, Jim. You're on.
Thank you. Mr. Tracy, my wife and I have a home, and several years ago, we expanded our kitchen by pushing it out from the rear wall. So a part of the kitchen, which is maybe 18 feet long by 8 feet deep, is cantilevered out over the foundation. There are ducts that come from within the foundation, under and up to heat, but it's not really that adequate. Do you have any thoughts about how best to add or increase the warmth in that addition?
Yeah, that's a problem area when you have a portion of your house cantilevered. And when I say cantilevered, it's like a diving board. It hangs over the foundation of your home. That needs to be really sealed well, and that would be a good candidate for spray foam like we talked about earlier in the program. If not spray foam, super insulated and super sealed tight, maybe with cans of spray foam. You want to keep the air movement out of there and have a very high R value because you've got that cold air accessing the underside of that cantilevered floor, and it wants to work with the stack effect. It wants to get in there and move on up through. So it's got to be sealed well and insulated well.
All right.
And spray foam from the underside of that extension would be part of the plan?
Yeah, I think you could do that versus tearing the whole assembly apart. You could, I'm not sure how it's constructed. There's probably plywood on there someplace and something on top of that. You may have to remove the finished surface, maybe the outer skin of plywood, and then spray foam, and then put some plywood back. You want to take into consideration a vapor barrier there, too. I'm just trying to think about this quickly because that's an unconventional design. Yeah. I'm just thinking about the condensation issue. That might be a candidate for the open cell spray foam that has the ability to breathe some. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Send me an email after this because it's unconventional and you need it sealed up tight, but you don't want to cause a condensation problem.
So it's Darren@WestBranchInc.com, D-A-R-R-E-N. At WestBranchInc.com. Jim, thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say on the free help after, I'm glad to do that. If it's something quick I can do in a couple minutes, if it's a long, protracted problem, you know, I don't want to take it on.
Well, you're a busy man.
In the very rare instance, I will help somebody out if it's like a really, really, really interesting project that catches my attention or for some other reason, but...
You know, you can't do a lot of hands-on from the boat. I mean, bottom line, right? Exactly. Okay. All right, 800-348-2551. This email from, I don't know who it's from, doesn't say. But it says, a small area in our basement has lifted and is crumbling. Everything else is fine. Who should I call to help? And you can see a couple pictures here where the crumbling has begun. It's just a small square. Looks like there's a sump pump there or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a pad for, and it looks like an oil burner that the furnace is sitting on.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a handyman job. You could chip that out and then patch that in with a concrete product that you Quikrete or some other type of concrete product you buy at a big box store or your local hardware store or builder supply store.
Okay.
Not real complicated to replace that.
All right. Fair enough. I had a quick question about the spray foam. Is this something that a normal resident could do, or do you need specific expertise to do that?
For small areas, a somewhat skilled homeowner can undertake that around like the rim joist of a house. The rim joist is the intersection of the foundation where you have a crawl space or a basement and the wall. That's a leaky area. So you can do that. A homeowner can do that. It's two parts, two tanks. You'd want to mask up, clothe up, cloth
up. So you want a real, what, N99 or?
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
Okay.
Maybe a more professional respirator.
Okay.
It flashes off and it dries up quickly. Really nice setup. A couple tanks might be $600. It's not inexpensive.
Okay.
Like so, half the size of a conventional propane tank. There's two of those. Yeah, a homeowner can do it and it's really handy. But for a whole home, no. That's a professional operation.
Well, hearing you describe it, I'm already off that list. I'm not doing that, man. Two cans and respirators and whatnot. Let's go to Michael in Catskill. Michael, you're on.
Hey, Darren. We just had a clog in our sink in our apartment. The plumber came in and unclogged it, and he said don't put any Drano down it. He said what we should be putting down it is baking soda, white vinegar, and bleach. Is that the best thing to do?
The best thing to do, Michael, is not put anything down there in the first place that would cause a drain, any type of greases or hairs or things like that. I think Drano is a somewhat aggressive chemical, so I would defer to what the plumber suggested on that. But again, preventative maintenance is the best solution in that regard.
Have you ever used the vinegar and baking soda?
I haven't.
So we have, Michael. I've never used the bleach, and I honestly didn't know about that, but I'll look into it. But in our house, we won't use the chemicals in our bathtub or sink or whatever. And my theory is if you put baking soda and vinegar down, you get some kinetic energy. You get some motion of stuff that's down there, and then you plunge it. And this is how we've done our minor backups in the tub or whatever when there's hair in there, and it does work. I mean, shockingly, but I don't know what the bleach would do or whether that would cause some sort of a chemical reaction that might kill you.
Yeah, you want to be careful mixing household chemicals. Hot water helps, too. Hot water helps loosen things up. So if you're going to do that, hot water helps. I would start with hot water, running hot water and plunging with just that, and then work into your additives.
What we usually do is, in fact, we just did this a couple weeks ago, the white vinegar, baking soda, you put the baking soda in, you put the white vinegar in, it foams up, and then you have water that had just boiled, but it's not boiling anymore. Yeah. It's hot, it's in the teapot.
Yeah.
Put the whole thing down, plunge, and it works. Hey, we're out of time, Michael, but thank you very much. Darren Tracy.
I just want to say one thing. You're establishing a pattern here.
What?
It's two segments in a row where you've had really good answers to questions on the technical side here.
Listen, don't worry. I'm an idiot savant without the savant, so I think you're safe here. Hey, listen, if people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that again?
Email Darren at westbranchinc.com. I've got a couple of websites, a construction website, westbranchinc.com, and then West Branch Engineering. And then in my YouTube channel, type in the search bar, Darren Tracy Engineer, and you'll see a dozen or more videos that many have stem from this program.
We never talked about the PetSafe rat trap, but we'll
We do have check it out on Ray's link.
Okay, and send me your Facebook link. I'll put that on the page as well. All right.
Okay.
All right, Darren Tracy, shouldn't you be back on the boat by now?
Tomorrow.
All right. You dirty run. Support comes from Glen Eddy Senior Living and the Terrace at Glen Eddy Assisted Living off Consul Road in Niskayuna, a community of seniors who share similar interests and passions. Part of Eddy Senior Living, Eddy, E-D-D-Y, seniorliving.com. Once again, thanks to Admiral Darren Tracy for being here right off the boat. He'll be back again soon if we can ever get him back from paradise. Thanks to you for calling. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer over there in Master Control. Andrea Leon screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, astronomy with Dr. Valerie Rapson. We'll see you at 2:00.